We got thoughts coming up on The Guardian soon. However, Lima, you circled this. I want you to get to the surface, and then I want to dig underneath the surface. Go, what's your thoughts?
So over the course of the week, I kind of got more and more upset about this. On Monday, we had a lot of stuff to be upset with.
You've been in a lather over this. Come on, let's hear it. Get red-faced and mad. Let's go.
Well, we had a lot to be upset with Monday, so probably should have made a bigger deal about the fact that they potentially left 3 points on the board. We get what happens. If you miss the field goal, you're spotting the Raiders with great field position. But again, it's in a dome. You have the excellent opportunity in a game. You can't find points except for the scripted drive. You can't get into the end zone. You keep missing an extra point, which was bad. And maybe you could make the argument, well, he missed the extra point. But that almost tells me if he misses an extra point, like he's due for a good one. Uh-huh. And 50-yard field goals in this league, what would it have been officially? Was it 58?
58.
All right, 58. Obviously, no gimme, but he had already made one from deep. And he's obviously got the leg to do it. And every week, I mean, I'm watching coup of the Atlanta Falcons. Every week with the game on the line, just calmly stepping up and hitting 50-yarders. This whole league and kicking has completely changed.
Gone straight to hell.
This truly does seem like a scared move by the Browns. And for them to all be on the same page there, that is a little bit alarming because you're going to have many more moments where they have to make decisions like that. And what does it tell you about their state of their psyche, their state of affairs with where their mind is on this football team right now?
We've made jokes about looking into a sheet, a play sheet, and going, the answer ain't in there, bud. You keep looking. It ain't in there. I think that they might be looking for an answer that might not be there. If they can't execute and they can't do it, fine. Like, I brought it up to you. It does concern me, again, that you go back to 2021. Where were they able to score? When they've struggled, they've been able to score where? The first drive of the game. And we always make the same remark. Well, why can't they just script the whole game? Which is partly, some people are serious, but mostly it's a tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
It's a joke. What you should really be concerned about is that your teams that you're playing, I'm sure they respect you to some degree because you were a former playoff team, which that seems miles away right now. And also, you're a professional football team. But it's not the same respect that they have as others because they're just unlocking you. And they're figuring out what you're doing right, and they're figuring out what they can figure out, and they are going to be able to neutralize you. And we're seeing it in every single one of these games. Down the field score, down the field score, down the field score, down the field score. That's it. A field goal here. If you get them turned over, except one got called back and they were still dancing. And the other one, if there was that, if there wasn't a terrible holding call, it would have went a lot. It would have went a lot better for him. But you've had these spots where the best type of offense you've had over these first four games is Deshaun Watson running around.
Yes,
like I wanted to protect him, kind of the way it started in the Jacksonville game, because it's like, man, you lose him, you're not going to be able to make lightning strike twice. And I'm thinking now in the third quarter, late third quarter, I'm reaching a point of desperation where I'm saying, go.
Just go.
Go.
Run. Get your first down.
Explore the space. Go ahead. Be unencumbered.
Go west, by young
anybody.
Man. Go east, young man.
Whatever
north,
way you have to go.
South.
Because that's the only way they can move the ball down the field is him stepping through the pocket, looking downfield, and thank God he's kept his eyes up. That's why I had to defend his play against Las Vegas, and I defended his play to a degree, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because if he's doing that, for the love of God, maybe if they can put together some semblance of a game plan and these guys get on the same page, then maybe they'll be able to move the ball down the field. Which brings me to another point that I'm not comfortable sharing. It's not that there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Maybe not yet. But if I'm a cover band, if I'm just a cover band, like there's the Pink Floyd band, Wish You Were Here. They were always on the Cruise On In and Dance Party in Maslin back in the day, right? I think they're still around. Wish You Were Here. You can be a really good cover band. You can sing like no one else can sing. You're still not Pink Floyd. You're still not that. And is Kevin Stefanski the cover band for a Ken Dorsey offense? Now, I don't know. Maybe the Ken Dorsey offense is winger and no one wants to hear a winger cover band. I don't know. But I'm just, I knew I was going to look up. I'm just looking at it right now thinking, are you calling another guy's offense and that offense isn't that good? And are you struggling to figure out what's right in that offense? And should the guy who they threw under the bus in Buffalo, mm-hmm. maybe it was right to throw him under the bus and maybe you should just let him call the damn plays and maybe you got too much on your plate, sir. It's making me wonder things, because when you're 1-3, you start to wonder crazy things.
Well, remember this, too. You want to talk about crazy things. Now, all of a sudden,
when you're one that bad,
in the recesses of my mind, I'm like, hey, remember when Albert Breer got roasted by Browns fans when he was talking about Alex Van Pelt going to his new team? And, you know, actually, Alex Van Pelt was the glue that kind of kept everything together in Cleveland. Well, the glue is gone, and now we have the worst offense, like, historically in the last 20 years.
But,
I mean, we scoffed because none of us thought that it was Van Pelt. But we're not in those meetings. We're not there every day, and we don't know how that communication is. What is their system of communications and delegation from a head coach? Why all of a sudden does the offense look like this gobbledygook of three different eras of Browns football as they're trying to figure out what Deshaun can do and what he can't do?
I don't know. I can't tell you. And it's obviously a frustration for everybody involved. And I'm just looking for answers right now, guys, because this weekend, I know we're focused on the Guardians, and rightfully so. They deserve it. They're in the postseason. Postseason teams deserve the most attention. We've been giving them the most attention today. But you have one team right now this weekend trying to extend their season. You got one team, they're trying to save their season. You go to 1-4, that's it. What am I saying about the Bengals? As an outsider about the Bengals, if they lose to the Ravens, I'm thinking, that's it. You guys are done. And you guys can figure out what you're going to do with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Zach Taylor and whatever you guys want to do with your defense and your pass rush. Okay, what do I say about the Browns if we're 1-4? I can't sit there and say a bunch of things that I don't mean. Like, if we're 1-4, it's like, all right, we're done. Now we're figuring out what to do with Deshaun Watson. If he's good enough to keep, if he plays bad enough that you could have an historically bad cap, dead cap space, what to do with Kevin Stefanski. And, you know, rightfully so, I think that Andrew Berry's a good guy, but you gotta examine that. You got to look under the hood of that and go, where are we at here? Why can't we draft good wide receivers? Why? Your defensive backs have been pretty good. You know, why have we made the moves we've made, and are you cut out for this job for the future? These questions are going to be raised after Sunday afternoon if you don't go out there and win.
Everybody that takes in this league, we know how quickly things change. I mean, look at Philadelphia. Look at how they were the toast of the town, the drafting, the organizational stuff, their coach, who everybody made fun of at first. Then he's winning a ton of games, and now a year and a half later, he is on the hot seat. I didn't know if he'd even make it through the bye week.
Exactly.
As we get ready to play them. Things change so quickly. And think about where our organization was and our coaching was in December. How we were feeling about all those things. And thinking about the hits of DeJuan Jones and Martin Emerson. And now you got people going, this is some of the worst drafting in the NFL over the last 5 years. Like, how quickly the conversation changes.
Because, like, they can show flashes, but they have to be consistent. And when you don't have consistent play, and flat out, guys, if you're just losing, it's going to make everything look worse. And you're losing. So now I'm thinking, well, what? You know, we have Quentin Jefferson. He's going to get into the quarterback, except, you know, he's a defensive lineman, and we're getting gashed against Las Vegas. All right, Martin Emerson was good against the Vikings. Well, all right, what happened? Like, I can't anoint him yet. So, like, JOK has been the most consistent over this period of time. I got nothing to say against JOK. Well, I would hope over the course of a draft you're going to get a couple of guys that can stick. I mean, there are guys who are dotted with previous drafts of general managers who have been fired that stuck around. Andrew Berry did not draft Joel Bitonio, and he's been the gold standard at guard for a decade now. Like, there are good draft picks out of other poor drafters. And we're getting to a point now where if you lose this game, like, I thought we got thrown under the bus yesterday on social media. I'm like, you guys told us about these mock drafts out here. And I just wanted to make a point that there's not a chance in hell that if you have Deshaun Watson on this roster, you're never going to draft Shedeur Sanders. So you could throw that stuff right out the window. But I think even if they were to have a cap hit or anything like that and got rid of him, I don't think that they would take him. But I thought we got thrown under the bus. But now that's going to be a conversation in earnest. And do you trust the guy drafting in the first round? Especially when we're saying, well, you know, maybe there's not as much first-round talent as we've seen. It all depends on who's sending that message. Like, there's so much at stake. And it might still be at stake in a couple of weeks. If you lose to the Eagles, you end up 2-4. If you lose to the Bengals, you end up 2-5, whatever. But, man, you go to 1-4, that's your goose is cooked, man. We're talking big picture stuff. We'll be upset about the loss on Sunday and Monday morning. Hopefully we're talking about a Guardians win. I can tell you guys right now, it's going to be a lot of big picture stuff coming in, and rightfully so. Because that stuff, when you go and you make that change, and you brought it up like, yeah, maybe Kevin wasn't very thrilled with having to let go of Alex Van Pelt. You bring this in, you bring in Ken Dorsey, you make the changes you've made with your staff, and you're not getting the results. There's only so many places you can look. And damn, man, it seems like we just walk through one door and all of a sudden the team feels like they're ancient. Let's go to the phones. Fred in Maple Heights, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, man. Hey, look, I've always been a big Browns fan. I got to say, you took that was the exact thing to say, man. It looked like three of the previous Browns teams out there playing all in one unit, man. Let's just be real. I wake up in the morning sometimes, and I just like listening to y'all, man, because every week we find ways that we should be able to beat teams that if we really, really look at it, we know, come on, man, we can't beat. We going 1-3 with the Commanders, with the Eagles, and with Cincinnati. I'm going to get Cincinnati maybe the W because we pretty much had their number for the most part since Ocho Cinco left them. But let's be real, man. We wasted Nick Chubb's time. We wasted Myles Garrett. Denzel Ward then had more concussions than Pro Bowls. I mean, let's look at the whole thing. It's a whole cluster, man. I think they said we're going to win, what, 5 games or 6 games this year? Numbers don't lie, man. I mean, like, what is it's going to take a miracle? Unless James Winston get in there?
You know, we were catching heat.
Be real, man.
What did you think? I'm not arguing with you, by the way. Sounds like I am. What did you think they were going to win this year? How many games?
This year, every year is the same thing, bro. I get them five or six games, and then they flame out, and they sporadic games. They're not even consistent. We don't come out winning the first five and fall off. We win games that don't matter. Another thing I'm pissed off about.
Fred, I know you're mad, but get back to the nature. How many games did you predict that they were going to win?
I was hoping for them to win at least 6 games. You know why I say that?
Holy Chautauqua.
Because I'm a realist. You know why? I don't get paid. I'm not saying you guys do, but I don't get paid to have a non-biased opinion. I'm going to give you people.
I am biased. I'm from here. Like, I'm not going to sit there and deny that to anybody. But my point is, like, we got called out for being what? Unrealistic. Fred, stay with me. We were called out for being unrealistic about the expectations, and I'm thinking, wait, they're the ones with 11 guys making over $10 million. You have one of the most expensive offenses in the NFL. You can't even put out 20 points a game, but going into the season, you have all that. I'm not supposed to hold you to expectations of making the playoffs. I think I'm trying to hold you to a standard, and I got yelled at for holding them just to the playoffs. And now we're talking about them winning 6 games? Sorry, friend.
Look,
go ahead.
I missed that part, and I feel for you on that. But I'm just saying, look, this boiled down to coaching. This coaching ain't – Jerry Jeudy talking about he can't run routes, man. We got players out there that's
exhausted. Well, who traded for him?
There we go. Who keep writing all these blank checks? There we go. We got to keep looking at this. It's a power struggle. It's internal. You could tell by the team. I think, too, another caller made a point. I think that when Deshaun is out there, man, I'm going to be real. When Deshaun is out there, I think everybody on the team just go, yep. We about to lose this one today, man. So I ain't about to go hard and risk injury like that because they know what they about to get out of him, man. When you go to a restaurant that doesn't serve healthy food, you know you're liable to pack on the pounds, right? Yeah. So don't blame yourself when you start becoming a tubby. So look at Deshaun. We keep throwing him out there. We throwing him out there, and we getting the same results, and we expecting organic, healthy results from a guy, man, that don't look like he want to be there, man.
Fred,
He got the bag. He ready to go home, man. Well, he got the diamonds.
Boy,
he got
the interesting.
Girls.
That's interesting.
Come on, man. He ready to go.
Now we're doing a Prince song here. Fred, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. By the way, Jerry Jeudy isn't even in my top 10 of problems right now. Him admitting he was tired, that sucks. But
on field
performance,
well, yeah.
I'm fine with that. But yeah, this is guys. They go to 1-4. I can't stop that call from happening over and over and over again. And you guys are all going to think that way. Yeah, I was trying to hold them to a standard to get into the playoffs, and I got people outside of Cleveland telling me, and I'm nuts. And I'm going, all right. Well, what am I saying about Cincinnati if they lose? If I'm saying that about the Bengals, I have to say the same about us if we lose to the Washington Commanders on Sunday. At least they'd have a good loss, technically, quote unquote, against Baltimore.